grace is the basis of our relationship with God. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to embrace the sustaining power of God's amazing grace.
Satan wants to sift every one of us like wheat. You ought to pray for your pastor and pastoral staff and those in the ministry. I believe pastors have big targets on their back. I believe Satan would like to just see every man who preaches the gospel destroyed and his testimony destroyed. And I believe every one of you at work who live for Jesus, Satan would like to sift you like wheat.
In our fast-paced world of heavy demands and competing responsibilities, spiritual survival is a challenge. In our series, Transformed by Grace, we will discover how to fuel our spiritual tanks with the sustaining grace of God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. God's grace strengthens and sustains us. Yet many Christians never fully understand how grace should affect their daily lives. Through today's series, we will discover how to experience the victorious Christian life by God's transforming grace. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called God's Restoring Grace.
Peter was a man who began to play a role that he really was not at all. In fact, I want you to notice in your Bible there in Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22 in verse number 54. And I want you to remember this story as Peter now is following the Lord from afar. And many Christians do this. We call it backsliding. They once were close, but now they fall back. And where they wanted to be close to the Lord at one time and sing the hymns and serve the Savior and be with the people of God, now they follow from afar off. And this happens sometimes when trials and difficulties come. People don't want to be a part of that. But notice the Bible says in Luke 22:54, then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him, speaking of Jesus. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Now imagine that. Here's Peter, the proud one. Here's Peter, the prayerless one. Now all of a sudden he has an opportunity to testify for Jesus, and he literally says, hey, I don't know this Jesus. I'm not one of them. Now he begins to pretend that he never knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I pray that at your workplace, you're not a closet Christian. I pray that you're not someone who says, hey, I don't go to church. I don't know the Lord. I'm not one of those. And the Bible says that as they begin to speak, verse 59, about the space of an hour, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. He said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter wept, went out and wept bitterly. You know, what a tragedy that a man would come to a place of saying, hey, I wasn't a part of that. I've had men say this to me. I don't think I ever believed that anyways. I was just going through the motions. Now, if you were just going through the motions, then I encourage you today to repent and trust Christ as your Savior. But if you've gotten so cold-hearted to the place that you're acting like it never really meant anything when you know that it did, then we see from Peter, the result will be that he wept bitterly. And every one of us this morning must say, Lord, help me to realize I need you. I need to have a tender heart towards you. I cannot solve these problems on my own. Years ago, evangelist Billy Sunday wrote a pastor a letter. And he said to the pastor, he said, I'll be coming to your city for a citywide crusade. And he said, as I come to the city, he said, I want to be prayed up. I want to be ready for the crusade. And so I would like you to send me some names of people that you are praying for, people that need revival, people that need to be saved. And the wise pastor thought about that for a little while. And he took a yellow pages, placed it in a box and mailed it to Billy Sunday and said, here's your prayer list. Now, if you're wondering this morning who needs a message like this, every one of us need a message like this. Because every one of us in the busy pace of our lives can revert back to a fleshly thought pattern, thinking that we can solve our own problems, thinking that we don't need to pray, thinking that someone else needs this message. And before you know it, we can even be pretending when we're out in the world that we're not a part of the body of Christ in the sense of our salvation and our affiliation to Him. And so the relapse of Peter was a tragic moment in his life. But notice secondly, if you would, this morning, the restoration of Peter. Here is where we see God's restoring grace and how we thank God for it. Here we see that Peter had come to a place where, having denied the Lord, he now in his despondency turns back to the trade that had gotten him food and water, at least, prior to meeting Christ, and that was the trade of fishing. And here we see Peter back fishing. It has been said that you can choose to sin, but you cannot choose your consequences. And Peter chose his sin, but now the consequences are loneliness. The consequences are living without purpose. He's just back fishing. And here he is at a lonely point in life. By the way, if you've ever been to one of these lonely points in your life, a place where your sin had you on the back 40, a place where your sin had you at a lonely spot, I would urge you, don't get angry like a caged beast. Don't begin to fight against God at that time. It is during those moments when we need to be still and let God speak to our heart. Not filled with resentment, not angry at our spouse, not angry at the things of God, not angry at the people of God. Oftentimes, people become emotional and angry during this time when they themselves perhaps brought this upon their own life. And this is where Peter was. Peter was fishing. And the Bible says in John 21:3, they went forth, entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. By the way, how many of you would agree with me? It's one thing to be miserable. It's another thing to be out fishing and catching nothing. I mean, all night long, they didn't catch anything. What a frustrating time this must have been for Peter. Peter's thinking, you know, not only was I a miserable disciple, but now I am a miserable fisherman. I can't do anything right. Have any of you ever been there, or am I the only one? Have you ever been there? You feel like, man, I wasn't a good Christian, and this, I should have done better, and now this isn't going right. And sometimes God will allow you to get to that place in your life so that when He comes to restore you, you won't take His love for granted that second time. And that's exactly what God does in Peter's life. Notice the Bible is clear that, first of all, Jesus came to him. Jesus came to him. I will never understand the mercy of God, the love of God, until we see him face to face. But isn't it interesting that when he came to the women at the tomb, he said, go and tell my disciples and Peter also. Just in case Peter doesn't think he's my disciple anymore, just in case he's in the slough of despond, be sure to let Peter know that I love him too. And then we read in John 21, the Bible says that Jesus came to them. And in verse number 15, it says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto thee, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He said the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Now, wait a minute. If God has you in a place of restoration, if God has you in a moment where he's trying to teach you something, don't get grieved at God. Many times when people are in a time of restoration, they'll grieve or they'll become frustrated and acting as though it was the Lord's fault that this all happened. There was a reason that God had him there. And may I say, there was a reason that Jesus three times said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Does anybody remember why? Because Peter three times had denied him. And so with the sin, there was a need for equal repentance. And Jesus knew that. And so three times he said, Peter, do you love me? And do you love me more than your occupation? Do you love me more than the things of this world? And Peter said, yes, I do. And so then the Lord said, then feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Now, how we thank God that Jesus came to him and found him in that moment of despondency. And he reached out to him at that time. And that's what Jesus does best. I once knew a lady that was born in South Korea. In fact, her father was an American soldier that she never knew. Her mother became pregnant. The soldier came back to America. Her mother was there in the country doing what she could to raise her. Finally, the lady said her mother could no longer afford to raise her, and so she literally abandoned her daughter in the streets. And as the lady began to tell me her testimony, she said, finally, after years of ridicule and years of hunger, she found her way to an orphanage. And as she was there in the orphanage, she began to recover somewhat from some of her sickness and some of the problems she had experienced. And she said one day she heard in the orphanage that an American man was coming. He and his wife would come to the orphanage and they were looking for a little boy that they could adopt. And she said even though she was a little girl, she was so excited that one of her friends would be adopted. And so that day they did their best to kind of clean up the orphanage and clean up all of the children because someone the next day was going to be adopted. Well, sure enough, that man came in and she said to me, she said, you know, when he came in, it was like Goliath had walked in personally. He just seemed so big and so strong. She said, as he walked into the orphanage and he came down the row of all of the beds and said he would pick up many of the little baby boys and he'd look at them. And she said, sometimes there was literally a tear in his eye as he looked at those children. Just the love that he had and the love that his wife had was very, very apparent. And she said that as he came down looking at all the little boys, everyone was curious which one would he pick? Which one would he adopt? The lady said it was at that point when the man looked over in the corner and saw her. She said, Brother Chapel, I was about 8 years old. I weighed about 30 pounds. I was still trying to get the lice out of my hair. I was still recovering from the boils that were in my body. And she said, I will never forget, as he looked at me, I was scared. He began to say something to the people who directed the orphanage. It was in English. I did not know what he was saying. But after a moment longer, he came over and he put his hand on my cheek. And he said to the director of the orphanage, this is the child for me. And the director of the orphanage in Korean said, he wants you to be his child. She said, those were the happiest days of my life, to know that someone wanted me to be their child. I just want to say this morning, thank God that in love, Jesus came to you. And Jesus said, I want you to be my child. I chose you to be my very own. Thank God this morning that Jesus comes to people who are less than perfect, people who are sinful and need a Savior, people who are saved but who have gone away in their spirit from Him. And He comes to you. But notice, secondly, the Holy Spirit empowered Peter. The Holy Spirit empowered him. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, the Holy Spirit is the Comforter who came down, and the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost indwelt the lives of those believers, Peter being the great preacher on that day of Pentecost. And I'm saying to you this morning, restoration happens because of the love of Jesus to come to you, even when you're despondent, even when you're filled with anger, even when you're filled up with self. Jesus comes in love, and the Spirit of God begins to renew and comfort and convict and empower the life of one who will repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Peter's heart was a heart of repentance, and when Peter said, Lord, I love you more than these, more than my business, I love you, and I know that you are the one who died for me, then the Spirit of God, and only then, could the Spirit of God do His work in Peter's heart. You listen to me this morning. When you're filled with self, you can't be filled with the Spirit. When you're filled with anger, you can't be filled with the Spirit. When you're filled with pride, you cannot be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God cannot fill someone that's already full up with themselves. But when we repent and we are emptied of self, then the Spirit of God can come and do His work in our heart. And restoration takes place in our lives. Well, we see the relapse of Peter, and I think many Christians have had moments there. We see the restoration of Peter because Jesus came to him in that old stinky fishy boat. Here was the Lord Jesus approaching Peter. But then notice finally this morning the response of Peter. Peter is now renewed, forgiven. Peter is now the recipient of a second chance. What would Peter do with his life? And I tell you what, there should be only one response to such love, and that is to simply say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I see some Christians, God gives them a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. And they'll go to church for 3 or 4 months, and boy, then they're out motocrossing again. And they'll go to church for 3 or 4 months, and then they're back at Vegas again. And it's as if God said, hey, I healed your child. Hey, I came back to you in love. I gave you the second chance. Why don't you come and serve me today? Listen, what will your response be to the love of Jesus? Will it be simply to live for yourself and do what you want? Or will you, like Peter, live for the Lord Jesus Christ? Notice, first of all, Peter begins to preach the truth of Jesus Christ. And if you've ever studied the book of Acts chapter 2, you realize that in response to what Jesus had done, the Holy Spirit of God now has empowered Peter, and Peter is the man that will stand on the day of Pentecost and preach a great and mighty service. And what a day that must have been. What excitement there must have been on the day of Pentecost. There was no one lulling in their mind. It was a powerful, powerful moment. I heard of a man who went to see his doctor for advice recently about being cured from snoring. And the doctor said, well, does this snoring disturb your wife? And the man said, does it disturb my wife? It disturbs the whole congregation. Now, by the way, if you ever have that problem, please go to the doctor. Have it surgically repaired if necessary. But he went into the doctor to get that taken care of and had a snoring problem in church. I don't think anyone was snoring on the day of Pentecost, do you? I think it was a mighty powerful day in church history. And Peter stands up, and at some time you ought to read his message. What a great message in Acts chapter 2 as he preached Christ. But the Bible says in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, speaking primarily to a Jewish audience, he said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was their repentance that would bring remission of sins. Why was repentance so necessary? Why is it stressed for all of us, and especially in Acts 2? It was because the Jews had hardened their heart. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Baptism is stressed for all of us, but again for the Jews in this context, because the Lord wanted them to publicly identify with his death, burial, and resurrection, stating that they were not ashamed of who Jesus was. And the Bible says in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Here's a man who a few days earlier was out having a pity party on a fishing boat. The whole world was against him. He was about ready to eat his own bait. He was going to go to his fishing boat and eat worms. Amen. He was discouraged and downtrodden, but Jesus came to him and he said, hey, Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Do you really love me? Yes, I love you. Why do you keep asking me? Because, Peter, if you really love me, I've got something more for you to do than sit here and have a pity party in this fishing boat. Peter preached the truth of Christ. And notice, secondly, Peter proclaimed the work of Christ. The work of Christ. I do not believe that Peter was the first pope, and there are many biblical reasons that I say that this morning. But I say to you this morning that Peter was a great man of God. Peter was a man mightily used of God. And the Bible tells us a little bit about Peter's doctrinal belief. And if you want to know what Peter believed and what Peter preached, then I encourage you to read the Bible and study what Peter preached in the Bible. Notice what it says in Acts chapter 4, sometime before the resurrection of Christ, after the resurrection of Christ. The Bible says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. There is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, meaning that Jesus Christ here is become the head of the corner, and the Jews had set him aside. Now notice in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The message of Peter was not that salvation is found in any particular church or in any particular deeds. The message of Peter from the Bible is simply this: neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. Peter said, if you want to be saved, you must repent of your sin and turn to Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved, you must realize there's only one name that's been given for salvation, and that name is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, no denominational tag placed upon your back will get you to heaven. But if you'll come to that place in your life where you will recognize that as a sinner who has fallen short of the glory of God, and that Jesus Christ loved you in that state, and that he reached his hand out to you, and just as the young woman in the orphanage in Korea was chosen lovingly by a man who came to adopt, so the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity past saw your need and mine, and he was not willing that you would perish. He was hopeful that you would come to repentance, and Jesus in love gave you the gospel in order that you might be saved. And there is no salvation apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no name that brings salvation except the name of Jesus Christ. You see, Peter was a man, just an ordinary man, filled with an extraordinary power from God. He knew that he was saved. And so the message he preached was the message of Jesus Christ. And that's the message we must preach today. We're not here to preach ourselves. We're not here to find commendation of others. We are here to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps this morning you have come to a place in your life where you've not been living for the Lord like you should. I want to remind you this morning that there is more grace in God's heart than there is sin in your past. There's more grace in God's heart than there is sin in your past. Whether you are sitting here this morning as one who has never received Jesus as Savior, then I've got good news for you. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the Bible says. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My friend, if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then when you pass away from this earth, we will not have to pray for the repose of your soul, because your soul will be instantly with God in heaven. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we declare this based upon the empty tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm simply saying it's not of works. You don't work your way to heaven. You don't pray your way to heaven. You don't give your way to heaven. You simply trust Jesus as your Savior. And to be absent from the body one day will mean that you will be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're here today and you've already accepted Christ as Savior, and yet there's been a relapse in your own life. A time when maybe the last weeks or months you've just not been walking with him like you should. Well, my friend, even as Jesus made his way out to a stinky fishing boat, and even as Jesus cared enough to say, the disciples and Peter, I believe that Jesus has you on his mind today. I believe he wants you to come back and fellowship with him. I believe he misses your prayers. I believe he longs for your fellowship. And I believe that Jesus, even through this message today, would have someone in this room to say, Lord, I've wandered far away, but now I'm coming home to you.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. That's 800-688-6329. Or go to dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story.
Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.